This week, it's just the two of us. Welcome to Grassroots Plus, sponsored by Gusto Homes.
Gusto Homes have been innovating in the residential house building sector for over 25 years, with a focus on building clean energy homes in sustainable communities.
So all we're going to do tonight is basically try and keep you up to date with what's gone on in the past 7 days, or at least some of what's going on in the last 7 days, because you can imagine at this time of the year, it basically changes by the minute. So it's all scripted, it's all rearing to go. But what isn't is the fact that David, Mr. Carman Collective Pickerel here, has got a whinge about the FA. So I'll let him get it off his chest right at the start of the show, because he's been moaning on Twitter all day.
Yes, the FA Cup. And there's not going to be any replays next season. It sounds like that the FA have been bullied by the Premier League. They don't like replays because they've got too much fixture congestion. It's a big thing for nearly every other club. I mean, an example I saw somebody mention today was a few seasons ago, Exeter City took Manchester United to a draw and took them to a replay. Made roughly £1 million out of it. That basically saved that club from going under and allowed them to do great things with the ground. If the Premier League have got so much fixture congestion, it's a league at the moment of 20 teams. Seven of them can get into Europe. That's over a third of that league. Why don't we have it when the Champions League was just the Champions? You went into the hat. So you only lost one club to that. You lost one to the European Cup winners and you lost one to the League Cup. So the chances were you might not have even left three teams. Over a third of that division could be playing in Europe next season. That's why they've got fixture congestion. They're now talking about the European Greed League being even bigger and more teams in it. I don't know why these teams even bother entering the FA Cup, to be honest. They can't be bothered. They don't come in at the beginning. They come in after January and they normally get interested at the quarterfinal stage. So FA, are you really bothered about your flagship competition? And are you really bothered about any club outside the Premier League? Because it doesn't look like it from where I'm sat today.
So it falls to the voice of reason to try and put, you know, a calming influence on this. This is all designed. David did get that bit right, of course. This is all designed for the Premier League clubs that actually enter Europe. They don't want replays. And everybody else has to suffer because of those seven clubs that are in Europe. It also proves the point that who actually runs football in this country, and it's not the FA, it's the Premier League, because the FA have to do what the Premier League want them to do. What I cannot for the life of me understand is that why this no replay scenario cuts in at round one. The big boys don't even join to round three. So I cannot fathom that one out at all. And if this is to be the case, why don't they do what they do in France? The lower of the two clubs have home advantage.
That'd be great,
wouldn't it? I suppose there is an argument against that, because if you was Exeter City and you got drawn away to a massive, super, top-of-the-range club, well, say Newcastle, would you want to go up to the proper St. James Park in front of 52,000 people, or would you want to play on your St. James Park in front of whatever the crowd is there, 5,000-10,000 people? And I don't know. So I'm a bit coy on that one. I do think there should be replays. I really do. And this is all to suit seven or eight football clubs. But let's face it, they're the seven or eight football clubs that run the Premier League, that runs football in this country. All you've got to do is look at financial fair play to see it's loaded towards those supposed, even though some of them are not, big clubs. But whichever way you look at it, it's a sad day for the FA Cup, and it's a sad day for football. I'm just waiting until the turnaround of the next couple of years and say, oh, we'll only have the top two divisions in the FA Cup to make life easier. Because that's the next rung of all this. It's probably not the next rung. The next rung is throwing step five, step four, step three teams out of the FA Cup and starting at those extra rungs up the ladder so there are less games. Mark my words, that's coming, and it's coming sooner than what you think.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And I've got no sympathy for the bigger clubs because most of them have got squads of, what, 40-odd players? You can't get two teams that you can't find an alternative team of 18. Is it now on a match day squad out of when you've got a squad of 46 or something like that? Unbelievable, isn't it? It's the world's probably oldest competition almost. It's certainly one of the most famous in the world. And the people that are running it are disrespecting their own competition. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, David, though, it's not their own competition because the FA are being bullied by the Premier League, and the Premier League don't give a rat's about the FA Cup.
I guess the problem is somebody came up with the idea today and said, wouldn't it be really nice if all the EFL clubs and all the others boycotted it? The problem is if you don't play in the FA Cup, the FA can sanction you and you don't do anything else, do you?
The reason why the FA didn't think they could turn the deal down is because part of this deal offers a further £33 million to grassroots football. £33 million. Just think about that in these days of Premier League transfer fees and Premier League money. £33 million is absolutely nothing.
And it's not just for one season, is it, Mick? I think that's over several seasons as well, isn't it? That, so you dilute it down. I think somebody said it actually equates to about £4.5 million a season.
They've ram-raided the FA, and the FA are weak as per usual, and they've gone along with it. Right, we're going to start with looking at some of the things that's happened both near and far in, as I say, the past week.
Deal Town and Real Bedford became the 9th and 10th confirmed champions. That's at step 5. Essex League Tilbury could have one hand on the trophy if they'd beaten Saffron Walden on Tuesday evening. But 2-0 down after an hour, the match was abandoned due to a mass brawl. Apparently, it took the intervention of the league chairman to calm things down. Well, I guess he earned his money that night then, didn't he?
I bet he did. He really did. Right, a single point separates the two Wythamshaw sides and Bury, as all three go into Saturday's last matches of the North West League's campaign. I mean, that is tight, isn't it? That really is absolutely tight. Wythamshaw Town are the favourites because they're at home against bottom of the table Scolmersdale. So if they win, and they've already got the Betham goal difference, if they win, then I think they are up. Pretty much the same story down in the Western League, with the top two managing to drop points in the past week. Both Falmouth and Helston have three matches to play, including a head-to-head battle that's actually going on as we record this show.
Oh, so anybody that listens to this will know what the score is tomorrow then?
Yes.
Lymington's relegation from the Wessex League means they have gone from step 4 to step 6 in two seasons.
This is actually a club you've mentioned on regular intervals about their ground grading, but the ground grading doesn't seem to have come into it. Apparently the manager, after they got relegated from step 4, the manager left and took most of the players with him, and they've never really recovered, from what I understand.
No, that's what I'd heard. I mean, I like the place. It's a lovely town. The club are great people, but it's sort of on a shared area. So you've got part, sort of a bit behind the goal goes onto the cricket pitch. I think I said all along, I don't know how they got step 4 status in the first place, but they obviously did. But no, think like a lot of things, the manager goes, takes half the squad with him. And there are a lot of other clubs within sort of 10 hour radius of there that are all playing at step 5 and some are at step 4 and quite a lot of step 6 clubs as well. So if there is a mass exodus, there's a lot of other people that are willing to jump into your space, so to speak.
And there's always somebody willing to do that. Right, step 6. I just looked at the United Counties and the North East Counties leagues. But to be quite honest, they're too confusing to say an awful lot. So here's David with just a little snippet.
Yeah, the last matches of the United Counties League season sees no less than 4 teams fighting to join Clipston and Newark Town in the playoffs. The Miners are guaranteed a home tie, but after that, it's the Ouija board, the Ready Reckoner, and it is, as you say, it's too complicated at the moment. It gets even worse in the Northern Counties East League. 6 points separate the top 5, and they've all got at least 2 matches to play. The big match this weekend sees Retford United hosting Shirebrook. They're the two clubs that are flashing the cash, the two clubs that are probably going to be the most upset if they don't succeed, I guess.
And the two clubs that are in that little batch that's not quite your favourites.
Yeah. yeah, just because they flash the cash and over the years, they seem to go a little bit over the top in their, what's it, their will to win. I mean, I have no problem with the supporters of both clubs, but on the field, they're quite competitive, shall we say.
Hartgate are the favourites, but they've got to play 5 games in 8 days. So does that still make them favourites?
No, I mean, perhaps we ought to not have the FA Cup at all then, when clubs have got to play 5 games in 8 days.
But, yeah, exactly. Right, the feeder leagues are slowly getting themselves sorted out.
Yes, well, it's congratulations to Nettleham, who were crowned the Lincolnshire Football League champions for the first time after a 5-1 victory over Kilby. It's between Crowell and Rushton's for the runners-up spot, while Appleby Frodingham sit in fifth place, and that could be good enough for Pyramid Football.
Spilsby hold a 3-point lead and have 2 matches in hand as they look to retain the Boston and District League, which makes the Northern Counties East League's decision to reject their application last season in favour of Laftan Reserves even more surprising. I wonder if Spilsby's going to bother to even ask this time round.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, they're doing very well there, aren't they, at the moment? Stapleford's vastly superior goal difference means a victory at Awsworth on Saturday will give them the Notts Senior League title and a place in the Pyramid.
I think that's been on the cards all season. They had a bit of a wobble, but they play at Radford and have done all season, so they'll pass all the ground grading. And in theory, Stapleford could probably be going into the Pyramid and San Diego could be coming out of the Pyramid after one season. That could be interesting. 5 points separate the top five in the Peterborough District League, but the club that have applied to join the Pyramid, Oakham, are 20 points adrift and in the lower half of the table. So the FA are rubbing the money at the 120 quid or whatever it is that they got from Oakham.
Yeah, they'll perhaps think a little bit more carefully before they send the cheque off next season. But I guess the problem is you've got to put the money in early, haven't you? And you might miss your chance for another few seasons.
Right, this is the time where we sort of gloss over Cornish Corner, so say this very quickly.
Yeah, the Lifeboatmen came down to earth with a 4-goal bump after fifth-placed Lanner won at Beacon Terrace. Nothing else to say on that, really, is there?
No, we'll move swiftly on.
But did the lifeboat get called out? No rain, no snow? Yeah. No, okay.
Gloat when they win, and I already mentioned it, when they lose. That's the philosophy. Right, this is a Grassroots Plus, a slightly different Grassroots Plus with Dave Pickerill and Mick Bradley. A couple of stories that Dave's picked up, and I don't know, it totally depends what you read into. And the first one's from step four, the other one's from step three.
Yes, Harbour Town have had 6 points deducted after fielding an ineligible player in 2 games. They had been top of the Northern Premier League Midland Division, and this will see them drop down to third. They're still guaranteed a playoff place, but automatic promotion, while still possible, is now out of their hands. The matches concerned were played in January, while the Northern Premier League must wait for the FA to find the club guilty before they could impose their own sanctions. This could open the door for Spalding or Anstey Nomads to claim the automatic promotion place. Step 3 Michelover have been deducted 12 points for fielding an ineligible player, meaning the club drop out of the playoff zone with only 2 matches remaining. The club say the player was registered and showed as available to play on the league system, and they'll be appealing the decision. And there was loads of other incidences on Twitter, weren't they, where similar had happened, and the club's concerned are saying he was marked down as good on full-time or what, one game or whatever it's called, and I don't know. Harbour.
Just the Michelover over one. I mean, 12 points, so you'd assume that he played in 4 games. is this something... I don't know the FA system, because I've never been a secretary while they've used this computerised system, but I know Newark and Sherwood fell foul a couple of years ago by one player who was registered on the FA system under 7 different names, all types of his name. We'll just say his name's Fred Smith. It was Fred Smith, Fred Albert Smith, Smith Albert Fred. And one of those seven, it'd be suspended. Bang, you're banged to rise. But is it their, is it the club's fault or is it the FA's fault for having a system?
If the,
go on.
If the club have taken due diligence and care, and we know in the particular case when it was Newark FC that the secretary at the time actually pointed out to the FA, the player we've signed's got three or four fan numbers, and used the one he was advised to use, and then told, no, no, that's the wrong one. I mean, I've never played at that level, but I actually have two fan numbers from just doing the FA, not mandatory, but, you know, voluntary required training. And using the same logon, I've been issued two fan numbers over three seasons. So, you know, how does that work? And in every occasion, it seems it's usually the secretary will get the blame. Somebody very kind, I think it was Andy Gregory, put it out earlier this week and said it'll probably be a poor volunteer secretary who's done the best will get the blame for this. And, you know,
yeah.
And I do wonder, it's not just one or two clubs are falling foul for this. So you do have to ask, I think it's called the whole game system, actually. Does make you wonder if there's a bit of a problem there, doesn't it? That so many clubs are falling foul of it. Watching with interest, because we've commented a few times when managers have left, the fact that the club they go to within about 3 weeks of sometimes fielding six, seven, eight or nine players from the previous club within a month. And it makes you wonder how that works as well under the FA rules.
Yeah, you're right. It is called the whole game system, or as people in the know like to call it, Horizon.
Very topical, Mr. Bradley, the voice of reason. Topic.
Right. Well, it's the same principle, isn't it? It's never the FA, it's never the fault of that system.
No.
It's always the fault of the poor old secretary who's part-time trying to master it. But it's not that system that's at fault, when it is that system that's at fault, because it lets you put different variations on. So, yeah, it's Horizon Mark II.
Yeah, I mean, my heart goes out to the secretaries, particularly as we've mentioned, the Mickleborough and Harborough, because, as you say, they're probably volunteers. They've done, as far as they can tell, the right thing of double checked it, and suddenly they're going to get it at some time. Oh, you've cost our club promotion this year, or possibly could do. So yeah, very strange.
It's going to come, isn't it? It's going to be thrown at these poor guys.
Yeah.
That do it, and it's just right. We have FA Vars finalists.
We do. Favourites Worcester City crashed out of the Vars on penalties as Great Wakering Rovers made it an all-Essex Senior League final. A 2-1 second leg victory with the winning goal coming 5 minutes from time saw the match go into the lottery, with elation from the majority of the 1,500 packed into the Borough's Park ground on the outskirts of Southend. Romford have won both league encounters by a single goal, and with both clubs likely to be in the playoffs, it's going to be an epic end of season in the land of jelly deals.
There you go.
Which, just for the record, jelly deals, as far as I'm concerned, are a crime against humanity. They're bloody awful.
I wasn't going to say anything.
They won't be my suggestion for the match catering.
No, they sound awful. Never mind about that. I've never seen them, but they sound awful. But yeah, I mean, well done to Great Waker, and well done to Romford, and well done to the Essex League.
Yeah,
they really must be celebrating. It's all change at the race to avoid dropping into step five. I actually wrote this three times this week, because that's how often it's changing.
Yes, it's almost as difficult to predict this one, isn't it, as the top end of the tables. With three matches to play, Grantham Town are still in the four Northern Premier East relegation places. 5 points separate the bottom five clubs, and the Gingerbreads' last match of the season is away to the side currently bottom of the pile. That's Winterton Rangers. But it could be all change if Newton Aycliffe fail their ground grading and second bottom get a reprieve. Again, it's a huge lottery.
Newton Aycliffe didn't do what they should have done last year, haven't done what they should have done by March 31st this year. But because of the weather, the FA have given them a month's grace to get the work done. Now, if they get it done, that's okay. But if they don't get it done, one would assume that Newton Aycliffe will be classed as one of the two relegated sides. And I just feel that's going to replicate itself all over the country, because there's more than Newton Aycliffe that's not done what they should have done.
Yes, we're hearing lots of clubs like that. And I mean, we had Croagh Colts on a few weeks ago saying because of the wet weather, they couldn't get all their work done. Are they going to be given a month's reprieve to get their work done?
Exactly. Or is it going to be like the Northern League, who's got an extension on their league, but none of the other Step 5 leagues have got an extension?
Yeah, as Phil said last week, despite the fact most of his clubs have got 5 more games to play.
Yeah. Right, over in the Midland Division, Gresley have dropped to the bottom. Their destination, we feel, would be the United Counties North League. Joining them in Step 5 looks like to be either AFC Rushton and Diamonds or Rugby Town. And we're hearing now that Rushton and Diamonds are going to be playing at Wellingborough Town next season, because quite frankly, they can't afford to carry on playing where they are.
No, that's right. They hire, is it Rushton Town's ground, which you we saw a few years ago. But they're a big name. Effectively, they are a Phoenix club, aren't they, of the former league club, Rugby Town, another big club that have dropped down. Going to be very interesting there. And also, falling through the trapdoor from the West Division are two other famous names, 1874 Northwich, already down, and they're likely to be joined by Hensford Town. 1874 Northwich, I mean, they're, if I've got this right, they're they were previously known as, is it Northwich Victoria, I think. So
okay, yeah, I'm with you now, yeah.
I believe that is, and Hensford, they're, you know, they've sat a lot higher up the league, probably pushing on step two, step one, maybe. Two big clubs. A lot of fun for the teams in Step 5 that have got the next season then. So the Everybody's Cup final.
If I've got this right, isn't Hensford Town a pit town? Is it an old pit club?
I believe it is. I've been there with, they used to be in the Southern League with Bashley. They're sort of, it's sort of M5 area from, you know, sort of Western across that way. But yes, I believe they are a pit town. In fact, they might even be nicknamed the Miners. No doubt somebody listening, one of our West Midlands colleagues or listeners, can probably let us know.
I suppose if the nickname the Miners, it's a bit of a clue. Right.
I think they are.
This is your listeners, Grassroots Plus, and we're proudly sponsored by Gusto Homes. We, of course, thank them so much for their continued support. Right, the awards season. So far, we've asked for your nominations for the best food served at a non-league football ground, and Mr. Pickerel seems to have taking it on himself to go round them all, testing it. And your underachievers of the season. And he's got a list for both those. And of course, he's not showing any favouritism whatsoever, but put your money on Melton Town's pork pies somewhere. But of course, he doesn't show favouritism like that. This week, your goal of the season. What's the best goal that you've seen this season? Who scored it for which club? That's all we need to know. The goal of the season, your goal of the season, and David will adjudicate and make his decisions when he hands out this. Well, you ain't got to wear a sparkly jacket for the last show of the season when you have to do all this. You know, you've got to look the part.
I know. I'll go out and buy the gold envelopes. If you are sending the details, if you've got a clip of goal of the season, or you can point me towards it, that would be good. We might have to put it down to the, you know, if there isn't any pictures of this goal of the season, you perhaps describe it, or we'll have to see if multiple people vote for it. But I can think of a couple of contenders I've seen this season. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, likewise with the food and your underachievers, there are one or two people have sent me underachievers by private message and email because they didn't actually want to put them out on the on social media. So you can do it that way as well if you want. But there were some interesting names come up, shall we say, and a couple of clubs have been mentioned on more than one occasion.
Okay, well we await with bated breath on that one, as I keep telling people, it's not my decision, it's his decision. Thank right, you. No problem. All right, there's even though Neil can share with you, we tend to see most weeks finish playing football, and I think something like the first week in April. In fact, I said play too many games up front, and I was proved 100% correct, as Neil can share with us, one of the top four or five teams in the whole of the country to finish their fixtures. So 1-0 to me, Mr. Hughes. Right, lots to play for still, though, in the United Counties League.
It's the UCL Step 5 playoffs on Saturday, with Lincoln United hosting Skegness Town and Loughborough Students entertaining Mountain Town. In the south, Alston Park play St Neots, while March Town will be travelling to Racing Club Warwick. Several UCL clubs are still chasing Cup glory. March Town will be playing Blackstones in the Hinchinbrook final to be played at Yaxley in early May. Wisbeach will play Cambridge City at Ely in the Cambridgeshire Invitational Cup. Loughborough Students face Anstey Nomads in the Leicester and Rutland Challenge Cup final, while finally Skegness will take on Saffron Dynamo in the United Counties League Cup final.
So there's still a lot of excitement still to go there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, a couple of the clubs that have also in the Cups are also in the playoffs, and they're probably thinking at this stage, probably could have done with getting knocked out a couple of rounds ago.
Yeah, but I was right in my debate there, wasn't I? We finished April the 7th.
Well, for our own club, yes, but some of them, I mean, my heart goes out a little bit to the good folks of Selston. I think they're playing every other night at the moment, without complaint either. And they've had to play home games away from home a few times, but I don't know. So, yeah, maybe they won't want to join the FA Cup next season. Who knows?
I know Selston are one of your favourite grounds to visit, and they are lovely people there and all that. But the point remains, with Selston, with Clay Cross, and with a lot more of them, they've got to do some work on the ground, haven't they? Because the ground is evidently not fit for purpose. And I'm not getting at Selston here in any way, shape or form, but every season Selston get more than their fair share of matches postponed.
They do, but at the same time, and it's not just there. How do you improve a lot of these pitches? Because the amount of rain we've had, but saying that, the way the forecast is looking, it's going to get heavier and heavier every year. This is going to become more of the norm.
Right. So something has got to happen. And this is going back to last week's conversation. Instead of making clubs spend money on ridiculous half a dozen toilets or, you know, 48 hand balls to wash your hands per dressing room, spend some on the pitch. Spend some on the drainage. You know, We don't need the facilities that steps 7, 6, 5 and possibly 4 you have to have. We don't need those grandiose facilities. We don't. It's as simple as that. 99% of step 5 clubs don't need a turnstile, do they? A man on the gate collects the money. They don't need the expense of a turnstile.
Well, you don't have turnstiles, or you didn't the last time I went to Twickenham. It was a lady in a wickerwork chair on the west stand.
So it's not, you know, they're not needed. It's extra expense that, quite frankly, is not needed and should be put in a different direction. And in my humble opinion, that different direction is the pitch.
And you'd prefer well-drained grass pitches, wouldn't you, to well-drained plastic pitches?
Yes. Well, if the government or whoever wants to install plastic pitches here and everywhere, well, okay, I begrudgingly admit that plastic pitches are going to be the future. And if it's going to get wetter and wetter, plastic pitches are most definitely the future.
Yeah, because the only thing that they probably are going to hold plastic pitches up is going to be fog or snow. And let's be honest, modern floodlights, LEDs, are really good in the dark, but the moment you get a bit of fog, they're not terribly clever.
Well, that's right. I mean, the weather's going to win in the end, but you know, if we're going to do plastic pitches, please, please, please put them in football stadiums. I've had that argument before, and I will carry on having that argument. Right, the strugglers, because it's not been a great season for some teams.
No. It looks like the Mid-Essex League side, Debden Park, could be the last team to throw the towel in during the season. They've struggled to fulfil several fixtures this season. Their remaining games are showing as postponed. Given that they're away out on the limb as the only Epping Forest team left in that league, it maybe doesn't come to as much of a surprise. I mean, they were one of the stations on the old railway line, aren't they, that used to go out to Epping and Ongar. That's how removed they are from everybody else in their league.
He's in his neck of the woods, you see here, Cockneyland. I take it Epping Forest is the poor man's New Forest, is it?
I'd rather get lost in the New Forest than Epping Forest, because Epping Forest is quite substantial. It's quite a big area. It's worth going to see. Albeit a lot of it's within inside the London congestion zone now, so it's going to cost you a small fortune to even get there.
Getting lost in the forest in the middle of Essex. That could be a conversation for another show. We'll leave it at that. Right. Yeah. Two of the sides in our season to forget league are ending on with contrasting fortunes. In the Northeast, Colourcoats won their second match of the season, and for the first time all campaign, they find themselves off the bottom of the table. So well done to them. But with three matches left, Sturminster Marshall are still waiting for their first point of the season. With 9 goals scored and a remarkable 254 conceded in 27 matches, you could actually say it's been a long season for the Dorset Premier League side.
You can indeed. Tuesday cannot come quick enough for Ollerton Town, sitting rock bottom of the Northern Counties East League with just 4 points, unable to play night matches at home. It's been a nightmare season, but like Colourcoats and Sturminster Marshall, they should be prepared. Proud of the way they've completed their season. In fact, I think as we're recording this, I think Ollerton off to Brigg for a reversed home fixture.
We see that. I mean, that's Ollerton's pitch is perfectly playable. It's just the generator for the floodlights is not working. And once again, you know, they've got no money to repair that.
And it's another club again that have had a hassle where the previous manager's cleared off and taken half the team with him.
Yeah, and they've never recovered, have they? They've never recovered.
No, they haven't really.
But, you know, the Colourcoats and the Sturminster Marshalls and the Ollertons, and there's many, many more of them. When it comes to choosing a team of the season, I personally put those above Farnham Town, who's going to go through all the Step 5 season undefeated, to rail Bedford, who's won the South Midlands division, but somebody's just put 2.4 million worth of Bitcoin, whatever that equates to, into the club. And good luck to the clubs that's getting people to put money in like that. Good luck to the clubs that's got millionaires backing them. If you're lucky enough to have one, you accept it. But the Ollertons and the Colourcoats and the Sturminster Marshalls are real grassroots clubs who's having one way or another to get through the season.
Yeah, proper community assets, and they deserve all the plaudits they can get for just being there and putting a side out and not doing what I'm sure all those three clubs probably thought at Christmas, are we really doing the right thing here? They could have walked away. The results would have been expunged, and everybody that had made the effort to play them earlier in the season would have probably got nothing as a result out of it. Full power to the elbow of those clubs, and hopefully next season we'll be able to announce that they've won a few more games.
It will be nice. It really will. Right, as you can imagine, the rumour mill is in overdrive. Make of it what you will, but let's pick the bones out of all this lot.
Yes, and it is a full rumour mill this week. It's a well-known fact that Step 5 will be 4 clubs short. The big decision is how the FA fill the gaps. The options so far seem to be 1, promote the best-ranked playoff loser. 2, promote the best-ranked runners-up. 3, start the season with gaps. Or 4, reprieve the bottom Step 5 sides.
Got to do something. And those are the 4 obvious ones to do, because we know the champions are coming up and the playoff winners are coming up. We know that. Why don't they just come out and say what they're going to do, David?
I don't know. I mean, all along, they keep saying in most of the leagues that the reprieve won't be given to the bottom side. But if a team, as we'll come in a minute, is folded, the side that finishes bottom haven't actually finished bottom, have they? Somebody's folded.
I just wish, and the clubs more than me and David, obviously, just some clarity so they know where they're going to be next season, what they're going to do. The latest FA change of mind says only step five matches played before April the 27th will count towards points per game. So the biggest loser of that could actually be the FA Vars finalist, Great Wakery, who are likely to have three outstanding fixtures by this date. The reason they're so far behind in the fixtures is one, they've got to the FA Vars final, so that takes, what, 8-9 weeks out of the season. They've actually only lost, David, one home league match all season due to the weather. They've lost a few away matches due to the weather, and they've had to be rearranged. But the points per game figure is going to be lower because they're going to have three games less than everybody else.
And I know you can argue it's not the fault of any club whose games are off because of the weather, but as you've said, some teams have got better pitches, have got better ways of dealing with it. And you can only really, from what you've said, you can only blame one of those postponements on Great Wakering. To drop out on the PPG seems very unfair, doesn't it?
Really does to me. And they've got to win all these games. If they win all the games, they will get into the Essex League's playoffs. But, you know, when it's the FA's own competition, the main reason why they're so far behind, I don't know. Right, David.
Kirkley and Pakefield are guaranteed to finish bottom of the Eastern Counties Premier League. However, given the mid-season withdrawal of Norwich United, it doesn't look like they'll be relegated. This scenario has been played out in too many leagues this season. As we've just said, if you finish bottom but somebody's pulled out, you've not really finished bottom, have you?
Well, the Eastern Counties, I mean, Norwich pulled out in what, October?
I think so, yeah, early on.
The Eastern Counties have known since October nobody's going to get relegated.
That will be quite sweet for Kirkley and Pakefield, because the year I said I thought Norwich United were going to win the FA Vars, Kirkley and Pakefield promptly beat them in the next round.
I wasn't going to mention that, says he, busy just putting a line through that comment. Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm glad you remembered that one. I did. Crowd Colts have failed their ground grading, but mystery still surrounds their application for discompensation until the end of May. So they've asked the FA a bit longer because they can't get the heavy machinery on there that's needed to get on there to do the work because of the weather. Dorley Town haven't had their ground graded and are not in the FA system at all, so we assume their application went wrong for the second season running. They're a wonderful club, aren't they?
Have they cancelled the open top bus again?
Oh, they are a joy. Right.
In Hertfordshire side Belston have failed their ground grading. But as their issue is the length of their pitch, and this is being sorted at the end of the season, they've asked for a dispensation.
Well, there you go. If your issue is the length of the pitch and you want to sort it out by the end of March, how the hell are you going to finish your football season?
Well, you can't, because otherwise you're going to have the last 3 metres of the pitch are either going to be crappy grass and there's going to be holes where they've dug the post supports up and all sorts.
I don't know. All right. News time in this slightly shorter show, so many of you will be very happy. News time. We'll start totally locally.
Yes, and it came as a shock to us. Sleaford Town Chairman Dean Williams has stood down after a three-year stint at the helm. During his tenure, the club has transformed from the division's whipping boys to a side that competes with the best. What will happen in the often volatile dugout without Dean and Roz to calm things down is anybody's guess. So we'll watch this space on that one.
We'll watch. We will. But I'm not surprised to see Dean go, because he is now executive chief operating officer, whatever it is, of the wheelchair basketball. Power chair football. And that I can see is going to take up an awful lot of his time.
Yes. And I mean, he has been, when he's come on here, he's been very, very honest. He has a plan, and he's probably felt he's done his 3 year stint. He's kept the club on that sort of plan that he'd got, and it's time to let somebody else in. In the not senior league, Cotgrave have tweeted that while Nottingham Forest have increased their season tickets to £850, they're freezing theirs at £20. Why not?
Yeah, wow.
Great idea.
Brilliant. Why not, indeed?
Yeah.
Right. 2 weeks ago, Newark and Sheffield United told their volunteers and supporters where they hope to be playing next season after the agreement at Conyngham had come to an end. But we've still no official announcement. Should the Newark and Sheffield faithful be worried? I'm sure by now, David, that the FA and the United Counties League will have wanted to know exactly where that club are playing next season. And I personally think it's poor that the people that pay the money to watch them haven't been told officially.
No, it is strange. We've heard on and off there's plans afoot, and I say people that were present at the meeting were told where the club should be going. I wasn't actually present at the meeting, but I've heard on the rumor mill several times this week exactly where the club's going. So it is a little bit strange, that one.
Isn't I don't think the club are helping themselves in any way. A bit of naivety on that one, I think. Right, around the country, and actually we're going to go to his neck of the woods.
After 35 league matches and 99 points, Step 6 side Hamworthy Wreck finally suffered a defeat. A 1-0 at home to Fleetlands. That leaves Farnham Town as the Pyramids' only undefeated team.
Apparently the man on the Hamworthy Twitter feed packed in at half time during that match.
Did he? Couldn't face the defeat.
Didn't take defeat very well, apparently. Well, I wish my club had only beat once all season.
We could put up with one strop a season from you then, couldn't we?
Yeah, I suppose so, can't we? Yeah. Right below the pyramid.
Boston and District side Eagle FC have announced that this season will be their last, citing a lack of volunteers as the main reason. The club fields two sides and they have a cup final to play on April the 25th. So that could be, hopefully, for them going up with a bang. Yeah. Dern and District home in on the Central Midlands Alliance Championship and a place in the pyramid. Think back to the day when their chief rivals, Doncaster City, signed three ex-internationals to play in what turned out to be their only match playing for the club, which was against Dern. One of the players dropped that day to make room for the superstars, was the club's top scorer. He's since signed for Dern and he's happily scoring regularly for his new club. Well, yeah.
And I think everybody in grassroots football is sitting, listening to this now, going, right, lad, you can't see what I'm doing, but you can guess what I'm doing to Doncaster City. That is not the way you operate, Doncaster City. It's not.
I think it's called mono digital signalling, Michael.
Is it? Right. Yes. Well, yeah, that sounds...
It wasn't Agincourt for anybody that knows the other side of it. Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And I think everybody now is hoping and praying that Dernan District get the championship and get promoted to the pyramid.
Yeah, they've certainly put up a very good show this year, haven't they, without perhaps doing that. I mean, you do have to ask, where's the integrity of the league competition if you bring three big stars in for one game and they never play again? But
yeah, it's just somebody again with too much money who doesn't know anything about grassroots football. Okay, well, we are now down to two shows left of this. Is that our third series?
It's our third season, yes. Yeah.
Correct. We are lasting well. Two shows of our third season to go. One I'm ever so excited about. Well, two I'm ever so excited about, but one I'm definitely excited about.
Well, next week, we've got Kevin Bishop, who's coming along to see us. Name doesn't jump out of you, however. He's an ex-BBC sports producer. And a lot of us in this area that are familiar with the Mousel FC videos and their content, Kevin is the man responsible behind that. So hopefully, tell us a bit about the club season and tell us a day in the life of somebody who produces that sort of content. That'll be interesting. And then we've got Emma's ground guide. No doubt Emma will be washing her hair in double denim or something as we look at the awards for the season.
Yes. So Mousel, for the ones of you that don't know, most westerly team in the football pyramid down there in glorious Cornwall with a lifeboat station just up the road. Brilliant.
I think we're going to have to say to Kevin, despite Mick sending you a fiver in the post, do not talk about the flipping lifeboat.
Forgets who writes a script. And the week after, it is just Max. I've had it confirmed. It is just Max. And we're going to just go through these awards. And what we're also going to do on that last week, David, is fairly stick with local, because I'm after Max's opinion and your opinion on what sort of season that Newark and Sherwood, Newark Town, Southwold City, Harrowby, Ollerton, and the like have had. Because I know Max will be won't sit on the fence. You're not going to sit on the fence because I'm not going to let you, and I certainly won't.
You'll be out there with the sandpaper roughening it up, will you?
During definitely. The week. Yeah. So that's the last week of the season, and then we're going to be doing what Newark and Sherwood have been doing already for a month, having a rest.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, Mr. Hughes did point out, he did concede that you were right on that one about Newark and Sherwood, but he did also say with a smile, but look at some of the other clubs. So. And yes. I must put the picture. I've got a picture of Ian, bless him, when he came to the Lincoln United game, decided that the sun was a bit strong and he'd forgot his cap. So we do actually have a picture of him sporting a Newark and Sherwood United cap.
I think you're right. That definitely ought to go out on. Yeah, on social media.
Yeah, he does look a bit sheepish in it, I will say that.
Get the picture out there, get everybody looking at it. And he bought it, bless him. And full credit to him for buying that, because at the price that he was charged, there's no way I would have bought it.
No, you are renowned for merchandising as having very short arms and deep pockets, but
you've got to remember, I'm just a poor pensioner.
Yeah, I bet if it was Newcastle United, you'd have managed to have bought one.
Probably so.
Yeah, each to his own, though. But no, it was good to see him on that day, and he did very sportingly go and buy a cap and wear it.
He did, bless him. Right, and on that note, we'll see you next week when we're going back down to West Cornwall. From me and from him, good night.
Good night.